Coming up next, Bathrobe Spears Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz, with a particular focus on the death of Happy John last night, killing by police officer Connor Carey. What does it mean? You call in, you tell me. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. My name is Robert Norse. We're going to be covering civil rights around the state, but particularly here in Santa Cruz tonight.
These cops don't seem to know we went through this years ago. They are so vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. I hear angry students rant about their Three Mile Island plant. Their chant is vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. The inner city gets the shaft. Now they are bringing back the draft. I laughed. It's vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. While the lobster men and hippies in New Hampshire picket Pisco, the gays are taking over the streets of San Francisco. How the hell will they stay home or patronize their local disco? It's so vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. Well, the folks at Ferris Slacks dump the bosses off their backs. Their act was vaguely reminiscent of the 30s. And imagine my surprise to see those old gray panthers rise. My God, half of them are women in their 80s. What do all these protests mean? Well, my friend Time Magazine explains they're vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. They're anachronistic fossils, atavistic apostles. They can't hustle, they're still twisting with the 60s. We got SWAT teams for the hot schemes of the independentistas, and grand juries for the furies of the angry feministas. So hey, roll a J and just sit there on your keister, or else you're I hear people singing songs about what's right and what is wrong. Their song is painfully reminiscent of the 60s. How the hell can they play music when their guitars are acoustic? I can't use it. I had to lose it in the 60s. As the curly-headed, turban-tied king of rolling thunder, I built my castle on the hill to evangelize and wonder at the peasants of the 80s in the valley going under. And as I watch them go, amazed they do not know they could learn so much from Barry Manilow. But they are so mainly anything.
That was Charlie King, vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. One of his albums, I think that was done in the 80s. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's 96.3 in Santa Cruz on your FM dial. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse. Be with you for the next 2 hours on a show that I call Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides. We cover issues of police abuse, basic rights for poor people, and the attempt to reclaim those rights that's happening all around the state, and hopefully even in this town. You can join this discussion, you can join this debate, and tonight we're particularly going to be focusing on Santa Cruz, and the murder, or justifiable homicide, depends on your point of view, of a man named Happy John, known other also by a number of other names. Actually, his legal name came out this evening as well. His legal name is John Calvino. I can't read my own writing. In any case, those of you who are listening may know that last night, around 6:45, a police car pulled up to a man in front of Coastal Federal Bank at Soquel and Front Street, and within moments, some say seconds, two shots rang out and he was dead within minutes after that. And that man is a man known to many of us in the local homeless rights movement as a colorful, somewhat disabled guy named Happy John. This really isn't a memorial show for him. This is an inquiry into what happened. We're going to be exploring some of the interviews that I made last night with people on the scene, my attempts to get information from the police, my attempts today to get into the district attorney's press conference, and also the seminal work done around this issue by the V-Man last night, Vinny, who happened to be riding by on his bicycle, which apparently then got stolen in the course of his investigation of the killing. But he interviewed witnesses who were on the scene that apparently the major news media and the news press, the print media, didn't really have that much interest in talking to, or at least I'm referring to Bob Gammon of the Sentinel. The main story on the Sentinel front page today essentially echoed the police line, which Police Chief Steve Belcher gave out, which was that Happy John, who wasn't named as such, waved a gun, refused to show his hands. There had been a report of a man with a gun, and police pulled up, and after giving him warning, he made a furtive gesture that made the police officers afraid for their safety, and he was shot twice. Witnesses say through the chest. I think I heard a report from the hospital that it was through the abdomen. In any case, he's now dead and gone. And there will be a memorial tonight at 8:30 in his memory at the spot where he was killed, down at Soquel and Front Street, for all of you who want to go down there and think about this situation, because it doesn't just concern the death of one man, it concerns the absence of justice in Santa Cruz. And for those who want to join in this discussion, we do have a call-in line here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. We've had it for the last week or so, and I'm really glad that it's back. Give us a call at that number. It's 423-5361. That's our studio line at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 423-5361. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play some of the highlights of Vinny's interviews that he put on last night. Vinny, as I remind you, is Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster and news seeker. He happened to be biking by just moments or minutes after the shooting happened, and he actually got testimony from individuals who claimed they were eyewitnesses to the killing. And those of you who have been listening have heard this testimony already on the air, but I'm going to recap it because I think it's so important and has been suppressed by other media. You don't get this information on other stations. And I do encourage anyone who has information about this killing to call 423-5361. Call into Free Radio Santa Cruz. Let us hear what you saw, what you know, your thoughts on this matter. What is the significance of a poor homeless man being shot twice by a police officer in Santa Cruz, and then 3 hours later the police chief announcing that everything's okay, looks like justifiable homicide to me? Kind of a quick investigation around the issue. Tell me what you think, and let's hear first from some interviews from Vinny, who really did some good work last night.
I guess a cop shot somebody. I don't know for what or why or what happened, but that's what I would like to know. And this happened in front of Coast Federal Bank on Front Street around quarter to 7 p.m. Wednesday night, November the 12th. Not sure which officer it was, but I see the guy going into the ambulance on the stretcher. Looks like he got shot in the chest.
After you guys.
There was nobody else here.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say anything until I hear what happened.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any witnesses here.
There's a lot of witnesses.
Do you know which cop it was?
No, I don't. Is he dead? It doesn't matter. I think what happened is I think the cop that shot him got scared and got trigger happy. I don't know, but I don't see. The person that was shot apparently had a piece on them, but I'm not sure if it was his or if it was otherwise. I don't know all those details. All I know is that I came around the corner and he was already on the ground and they had their guns pointed at the guy, and the guy wasn't moving and they were just waiting for him to move so they could shoot him again. That's what I thought.
Oh my God.
And then they realized that he wasn't moving, and they went and strip searched, looking for other shit in his body, and they were moving him around like a rag doll, and they were starting to realize that he was gonna die, and then he was dying really fast.
Oh my God!
And I think he's dead. Yeah, I think he's dead. You're not supposed to move somebody when they're wounded. You know, like they were flopping him around, like his neck was doing this and stuff. You know, it's like they were strip searching him, doing like he was dying, and they were strip searching. They weren't even looking at his wound. They were strip searching him and everything.
Protect and to shoot. I'm with Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name is Vima.
All I saw was like I was just over there, man, and like I was coming out and I was talking to some guy, and he was just like, we were just talking and we were walking along, and I was facing that way, dude, and he was just like, all of a sudden we just saw that cop car right there pull up, and the guy was walking along, and I just saw one cop. We pretty much just saw like the car pulled up, and the guy just pretty much like doors open, and they just went boom, boom.
Wow.
It was like that instance, yeah. Two shots. It was like as instantly as that car stopped, like someone got out and fucking shot.
You know what happened, man?
Hi.
Well, so which cop was it, do you know?
I don't know the name of the cop.
What was he wearing, jeans?
No, he's wearing a police uniform.
Two of them.
They just walked up and blasted the guy. They told him to keep moving, and he wouldn't move. He told him to fuck off, and they just literally blasted the guy.
Really?
Cold-blooded murder.
Do you think he's dead?
Oh, he's definitely dead.
They hit him in the chest.
Two bullets to the chest.
Point blank, 5 feet. From two different guns?
Point blank, 5 feet. You'll find my ad in the paper tomorrow. My article will be in the paper tomorrow.
Can I ask you a question? Did he pull anything out of his
hand? No, he's had his hand down like this. His hands were down like this and told the cop to fuck off. And the cop just point blank shot him twice.
He was sitting right in front of the bank, right?
Yeah, same cop shot him twice.
Wow. You know what the cop looked like? What color hair, any of that kind of stuff?
No.
Big guy, small guy?
My fucking mind just went crazy when I saw that. It's in a dark spot there by the bank.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't have any. What I could see from the light coming across the street, that he had his hands down. There was no weapon in his hands. I could see their damn weapons shining on them.
Yeah, I don't think he had.
And they just totally blasted them.
I was there.
You were there too?
Yeah, I don't think he had.
How many shots were fired? Weapon.
Two bullets directly to the heart.
5 feet to the heart.
Yeah.
I heard pow, pow,
pow. I'm standing right there. I couldn't fucking believe it.
It sounded like a toy gun, but I knew it was real, so
it didn't sound like a real gun. That's what it was. I couldn't believe either.
I didn't see who fired it, though. Somebody said it was undercover.
It was a cop in a uniform. Both of them had uniforms on.
There were
two cops in a uniform pulled up and told him to get the hell off the wall and keep moving.
Yep.
And he told him to fuck off. He stood up and stand up and put his hand down and told him to fuck off. And they just point blank shot him.
Did you talk
when
to
they
any
came
police
out of
investigators?
Their police gun, huh?
Did you talk to any of the police investigators?
I talked to one officer. They told me that I need to give him a statement if I saw something. And then I talked to the Santa Cruz paper. I wanted to talk to the paper first, I told them. No, you talk to me first, then you can talk to them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
these two cops point blank,
one cop shot him. No, one, two cops. One guy just stood, the other cop couldn't believe it either. He stood there, looked dumbfounded that he literally shot the guy.
Somebody said it was a homeless guy on the side.
asking for people for change.
That's what he was doing. I walked by.
Who he was?
It looked like a kid. I saw him.
He
like,
walked by and asked for spare change.
How old did he look?
I didn't look at him. I just heard him, and he was in the dock there, like I say. He's sitting on that wall there. It's pretty dark spot. And I heard him ask for spare change. I said, no, I don't have anything. And I walked about 15 feet when I heard it squeak in the car. And I turned around, and there was two police cars. I said, well, now what the hell are they going to mess with him for? And he said, get off the wall and get down and get moving. And he said, he jumped down and set his hand straight down and said, fuck off. And they just point blank shot him. When they came out of their police car, they literally already had their gun drawn.
Did they attempt to give him medical assistance?
All they were doing was trying to find a weapon. All I saw him doing was checking his pockets for a weapon after he was
there. No medical attention at all?
No, hell no.
And you're a merc, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
And that was a witness interviewed last night by the V-Man, a radio commentator here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. One of a number of witnesses who gave some of them contradictory stories. I spoke to a witness. You're going to hear her testimony later in this program. In fact, you're going to hear a lot of the tape I made last night when I kind of did some sniffing around several hours after the killing, and some of the reactions I had, some of the reactions of the police department. But I'm really interested in your reactions, and I'm interested in your update on what's going on. And we do have a call-in phone number here. I want you to call me at 423-5361. If you witnessed this shooting, if you have been following this controversy and have something you want to add or some reflections you have on what's going on, some way possibly to kind of pierce through this mystery, was the police officer justified in this shooting? What is the meaning of this shooting for the Santa Cruz community downtown? Is this an errant act, sort of a peculiar and bizarre event that we should sort of dismiss as that, or is it the culmination of a policy that makes police officers the handmaidens of merchants and a kind of a reactionary get the bums out of town policy that has been increasingly prevalent in the law and in the policies of the Downtown Association with its Real Change, Not Spare Change, Throw Yellow Paper at the Panhandlers program with the downtown ordinances in 1994, with the continued enforcement of the anti-homeless sleeping ban law. All these questions, to me, come up in my mind when this happens. We got a caller here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, hi, Robert. This is Bob LaMonica.
Hi, Bob.
And I want to quote from an article that ran in the Sentinel 11/5/97, and it's about the guy that was shot by a sheriff's deputy on Highway 1.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is another shooting we're talking
right,
about.
Right, and just this quote is really good. It's by a lawyer named Meltzer. Meltzer said the sheriff's office investigation was predictable. Quote, when was the last time you saw a police announce a police shooting, he asked. Now, this thing about... what's the guy's full name that was...
It's John Calvin Dine.
Okay.
Or Dino, actually.
Mr. Dino.
Or is it Dean? Dine.
Mr. Dean or Dine?
Yeah, John Calvin Dine.
The fact, and I think that your reporting is excellent on this, by the way, and I think the show is very timely. The way that this is going down, there are a lot of very important unanswered questions. It appears that there may be the possibility of some significant overreacting by the police, and I think these are sincere questions to ask. We can't just slough this stuff off with press releases from public officials. It's the exact wrong approach.
I have to agree with you.
I'm thinking about, this is an article in the Sentinel 11/5/97, wounded suspect pleads not guilty and hit and run. And in that case, the cop shot this guy in the neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why didn't the cop shoot him in the leg, as it was said to me by a friend? If he wanted to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why didn't the cop shoot this guy in the leg? They shoot him in the chest. And then they search him, according to your eyewitness reports.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be investigated deeper than a quickie press release by some polished politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shameful for this community to allow this thing, if it does, to die at the point of superficiality, which is where it is. So the next couple of days ought to be very interesting.
Well, there hopefully will be a report in the San Jose Mercury News tomorrow
They didn't cover it because apparently their bureau didn't get the word until late. I was speaking with reporter John Woolfolk. We were both originally kind of huddling at a DA's press conference when the DA threw me and all the other alternate media out. I think one alternate media person slipped in, but it was hopefully that this story will be getting further coverage. What I did notice myself was, you're going to hear it in my upcoming coverage of what happened later that night when I showed up with a tape recorder. The police department had a story, and the story was that it was a justifiable homicide. And first they claimed that he pulled a gun, and they didn't tell us till hours later that it was a toy gun, say, which I find significant. I mean, if they really have nothing to hide, why don't they admit it's a toy gun up front? There's also the suspicion one has, since this is a man who I've never seen playing around with a toy gun, although apparently one of his friends says he had a red or orange squirt gun, which would hard for me to imagine that police could mistake such an item for a menacing weapon. But there's a claim by one witness that they saw the police kicking something on the ground that looked like a gun.
I think the issue needs to be raised, and it is not paranoia. It's not sensationalism. It needs to be raised, and we cannot write this off with quickie press releases from polished politicians. And at that point, let me get off the air.
Right. Well, thank you, Bob, and I want to thank you again for your work in trying to bring to light in very detailed and specific manner the kinds of allegations that have been made against, not allegations, the kinds of real facts that we are faced with other public officials like the district attorney, who I don't want to talk about now, but I think that, you know, you've aired on your show when you were on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you continue to raise in a public forum.
Well, let me just give a quick plug at that. Recognition and response to abuse of power is the most important issue of our time, and we cannot be intimidated. These are real issues, and just to bring up one incident that you got to really work at to excuse away and slough off, let's lay it out. The victim of the district attorney's bodily injury car wreck is blood tested, and he isn't. Now, this guy is going to give a puff piece press release and excuse away some cop's action shooting a well-known street person in cold blood.
Right, and of course...
Okay, there's got to be details here that have got to come out.
Let's see if we can get some more of them, Bob.
All right, thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. The lines are open for you to call in at 423-5361, and we have another caller.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, I called in yesterday. I peripherally got involved with this incident when one of the witnesses I found wandering around the freeway off-ramp.
A freeway off-ramp?
Yeah, well, he was hit. He was so disoriented, he had a lot of injuries, his head and legs, and he's bloody all over.
So
either hit by the police car or hit by a car about 30 seconds before the shooting. He was right there at the site, and then the police just dropped him off at the off ramp and told him to go back to Watsonville. I guess he's a very rich son of a very rich man.
Now,
in Watsonville.
Now, how do you know all this?
He told me. This person told me. I tried to find out who he was.
So how you actually stopped to talk with him?
I picked him up. He would have been killed if I hadn't picked him up. I didn't know what to do with him at first. I brought him home to call. He was trying to get a hold of his wife, and two kids were, you know, he's from out of town.
Let me understand this correctly. You were driving, you picked a man up at the entrance of the freeway who was bloody and apparently had been in an accident, and then he told you that he had been at the scene of the shooting.
Yeah, and the police just said, you know, when they found out who his father was, oh, well, you know, we don't need you as a witness. Just go home.
Now, who was his father, or who is his father?
I guess the Goethe real estate guy in Watsonville, G-O-E-T-H-E.
So your claim is that the police, he says the police took him away from the scene of the crime, deposited him at the freeway, and just left him there as a bloody mess?
Yeah, and totally disoriented. The man was, like, not able to walk straight or anything. He was really in bad shape. I finally just said, I'm sorry, you know, I can't find your wife. I have to take you. And I said, I'll take you to your wife. He was so scared. He kept telling that the police told him not to say, and things like that. And I was really getting kind of scared myself.
What did the police tell him not to
say?
It
was hard to get him to. He was panicky. He was crying and panicky, and really not all that coherent. But going over this story, and then he says, "Yes, that's right. It's gang related. As if he was told to say that. And he said other things, but he was there at the scene. But you know, taken away from the scene when they found out that he
was... Or at least he says he was at the scene.
I have no doubt in my mind that he was there. He was terrified. When he would explain to me the shots and the bang, bang, he was... His nerves were just totally shot. Plus, he was...
About what time did you pick him up?
I had just come from the Committee to Repeal Sleeping Ban meeting and was dropped somebody off at the university. I was on my way home, and I drove past the on-ramp. I wasn't going on the freeway or anything.
So about what would you estimate? The time about 9:15 or something in the evening? Or?
Probably like that, yeah.
So that was about 2 hours after the shooting.
Yeah, and about half an hour after that, I got him into the hospital. He didn't want to go, but I forced him into the hospital. When he heard that the police were there at the hospital, he freaked and bolted and left. But before that happened, we got more information out of him. I could go over the different variations of the story. He was really incoherent, but he was mostly just terrified of the police. You know, the police told him not to speak. Then he called his father's. His father said that the mother's there, the wife's there. Get your ass home now. This man needed X-rays. This man needed treatment. I don't know. When he was heaving and coughing, his ribs were coming out very strangely. So why the police would drop him off, I don't know. And I don't even know if he was... one version, it was like he was hit by the police car. Another version is the police car came after he was hit. So I don't know what the real true story is, but he was there at the scene. The thing that I wanted to bring out, a couple things I wanted to bring out, is that while I was there talking to the security guard, I befriended the security guard, and he was talking about the police inside there mm-hmm. with the dead person.
Security guard at the hospital?
Yeah. And he said... Well, they're gonna do a blood test on him, see if he's HIV. He says if he's HIV, then they can make it to be a suicide because you know HIV person, a homeless person, you know, he has a gun. The toy gun would be a good way to commit suicide. That's what they're gonna do. He was confiding in me, and I said, "Whoa, you know." And as an HIV person, I really take quite an affront that you know all you have to do is be HIV and homeless, and you're expendable. So I reported this to one of the DAs today. Guy didn't even ask my name. Just brushed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's kind of interesting that's happened. I caught the noon news, mm-hmm. and the Channel 5 noon news. And I listened to the free radio last night, so I heard all this testimony. Channel 5 noon news said that all the witnesses said at noon. All the witnesses say that the guy was pointing a gun at the police. Then I called him up. I says, "Hey, you know, you guys got your story pretty bad. You must have, you know, I don't know who got that material for you." I says, "But I heard five testimonies of people say the guy had absolutely no police. Plus, the employee at the New Leaf Market, who you can get in touch with real easily, saw the whole thing. There was no hostile gesture. There was no furtive gesture."
Talking about Alani, the woman who was.
Yeah, Alani. I said, you know,
this was a woman who was standing on the roof of the New Leaf Market. She works there. We haven't really introduced her on the show yet, but we're going to have some testimony from her later.
So
she claims that there was no hostile actions whatsoever by Happy John.
Yeah. So I called, you know, Channel 5 to say, you know, get on the ball, you guys. You know, don't just take the police press release. And the guy said, "Okay, yeah." And then at 5:30, they did the same thing, except even worse. And I call him back and says, what's going on here with you guys? And he says, "Oh, you know, who told you?" Somebody named Robert there. So somebody named Kevin said, "Well, I'm going to, you know, have his head, you know, because we could have had that story." I said, "Yeah, KSBW just scooped you because they said that there's some doubt about this."
So what was the difference in the KSBW story?
KSBW said that there seems to be some question among the witnesses, whereas CBS, Channel 5,
Sentinel story for those who
witness.
David, the Sentinel story, I recognize you, David Silva.
Yeah.
The Sentinel story, for those who didn't read it, states that there was apparently a complaint that a skateboarder was scared that somebody had a weapon and
That's what Channel 5 focused on.
Was acting menacing, and so the police officer picked up the complainant or a witness and drove along looking for the guy, the alleged suspect. And then found the suspect, and then the suspect was told to put his hands in plain sight. He refused. He acted furtive. He reached inside his backpack, and then they shot him. And they afterwards found a toy gun. That's the police story. However, it does not jibe with any of the stories that I either heard directly or secondarily. Now, there's still some contradictions in the stories I've heard because one says that the guy said "fuck you," and the other stories all tend to go to the basic claim that the police shot immediately on arriving without any discussion. I heard that from one person directly. I heard that secondhand from a man who got it from a close friend who was there at the scene. And then that was also the story from a fellow who called me, a second direct witness who called me today on the phone, who I hope calls in. He actually let his name be used. His name is Larry Raddick, and he was apparently across the street rolling a cigarette. He observed the police car pull up, and just shots rang out even before the cops got out of the car. So it was it wasn't a contract killing. It was certainly a major fuck-up, if that story is accurate, if you'll forgive me for being so graphic.
Well, you know, I don't know what the truth of the matter is, except, you know, the fact that they start out first with a cover story of a gun, then the story of a... First it's brandishing a gun, and then it's having a toy gun, and then it's a gun in the backpack. You know, the police themselves, their cover story is starting to get a little thin. I told Channel 5 about this, but Les Patinas, you know, I guess, wouldn't have none of it. You know, this is the way the Brazilian homeless death squad started, too. They would have a witness in the car, you know, that would be the excuse, and then the witness would be the, you know, the one, the bring-along witness. This is the way the Brazilian homeless death squad started. So, you know, if anything like that at all is beginning to start, then, you know, Art Danner, you're going to fall, because I don't think people are going to let go of this.
Well, thank you, David. Anything more you want to add?
Well, you know, I feel sorry for this guy that I picked up. I mean, he was in really bad shape. I hope he's alive. He was afraid that he kept saying, they're going to kill my wife, they're going to kill my wife. He got separated from his wife somehow, and he was very concerned that if he spoke, that his wife would be killed. So I think it's a very bizarre thing for me to stumble across, you know, this witness, and the fact that he was so incoherent and had kept complaining about having his head being hit by a car at 70 miles an hour. You know, I think it really should be checked into. I wish the DA would take it more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we all do, but I think until we have a new DA, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, well, I think Art Danner had an opportunity to show his true colors, and I guess he is. It's, you know, at least, and same with CBS News. I'm writing off Channel 5, you know. I think I gave them an opportunity today. And if Les Patinas is going to come up with this kind of story, you know, I hate Tom Brokaw and Channel and NBC News, but I guess I'm stuck with NBC.
Well, keep us advised of, you know, what you see and any new reports that come in, and we'll keep you advised. I'm going to play now the...
Yeah, this is scary shit, you know.
My interviews last night.
You'd be talking on the radio right now about this. It's kind of scary, you know. Who knows whose door they're going to kick in next, you know?
Well, I hope they don't kick in my door, but if they do, you'll hear it live on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, David.
Talk to you later.
And that was Green Party activist David Silva. Actually, he and I were at a meeting last night together on the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, which has actually filed its petition with the city attorney. But more on that in a moment. We have another call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, you mentioned my name, Larry.
Yes, this is Larry Raddick?
Yeah, Raddick.
I'm sorry, Larry Raddick.
Yeah.
And Larry... you gave me an interview earlier today, but maybe we could just sort of run over some of the main points of what that was all about.
Okay, yeah. I was sitting right across the street when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Murray on there and all of them. But you see, I was sitting there, and they didn't say anything. Happy didn't point nothing at them. It's whatever they're saying about... this guy being dropped off, somebody in the back of the cop car dropped him off, told him... There was nobody in the car except
really?
The two cops.
Is that right?
Yes.
Interesting. Would you describe for us the scene? You were sitting on... You said you were sitting on the sidewalk rolling a cigarette?
Yeah, I was rolling a cigarette right across the street from where they shot him at. I was halfway through the cigarette. All I heard was a screech, and I look up because I already saw Happy Dave coming up the street. He was coming up. Street. I was going to roll the cigarette and then walk over and talk to him.
You're talking about Happy Dave.
Yeah.
I call him Happy John.
Well,
you call him Happy Dave.
John, yeah.
Right.
We call him Happy.
Right.
And because, you know, we've known the guy for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they didn't say nothing. There was nobody in the car. You're probably getting the feedback from the radio. But it's shocking because I hear this guy saying that he was pointing something. Well, all he had in his hand was a radio. I didn't see a backpack or nothing because after that I left. I was gone. Somebody probably saw me, but I was right there. Everybody says that they were around the corner. They heard the shots. They didn't see anything.
So
see, I was sitting there.
So you were sitting there and you saw the police car pull up.
Yeah.
And what was the next thing that happened?
They didn't even... So the one guy said the cop got out and they were kicking him around. I didn't see that. But the cop didn't even get out of the car. He had one foot on the ground. The door wasn't even open and he just... pulled his gun and shot him. They didn't say nothing. They just screeched to a halt and shot him. And by the time the other cop, he was probably amazed, like that guy said, that he shot somebody downtown. I was already gone by that time. I had just walked around the corner and just went all the way up the Pacific, and I just went ahead, man, because I couldn't believe that they did this.
Now you say you know Happy John or Happy Dave.
Yes, I've known him for a very long time.
Is this a man who is aggressive or violent?
No, never. No.
How would you describe him?
He's mentally ill. He walks around going, Happy Day, 420, we need a 420, cool, Happy Day, Happy Day. And he was always like that. And you'd tell him your name, and he'd be like, yeah, happy, happy, cool, yeah, Happy Larry, right on, you know. And you know, I introduced my girlfriend to him, Minnie Haynes.
Yeah.
You know, and he was really cool. He made her laugh. I couldn't believe it, man. And she was just, she couldn't believe it. But we're split up as of this morning, but other than that, this is like a total shock. You know, I hear about this memorial or whatever they're holding
tonight. At 8:30, yeah.
Okay, I'll be there.
Good. Well, I think I encourage a lot of the audience to come and...
Oh, definitely.
Just in memory of Happy, but also hopefully with an eye to really throwing some light on this situation.
Yeah, it's got to stop.
Now, did the district attorney's office speak to you?
Yeah, we went and talked to him at 2:30 this afternoon.
And what...
I called you right after we got back.
And do you think they took your account seriously?
Possibly, yes. We don't know yet. We're going to wait to find out the income.
Hmm.
He was surprised to hear that somebody was actually sitting there when it happened. It's just the look on his face. It was like he was surprised because everybody says that they were standing around the corner or they didn't see it happen. Okay, but this girl that was standing on the roof having a cigarette break, you know, I've been listening all day. I mean, you know, It's different when you're sitting right there and it's happening right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and whatever they're saying, you know, I'm like 30 feet away.
Right.
I'm probably the closest person besides the cops to them. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And they don't even realize that I was there. They didn't even see me.
Were any words exchanged of any kind?
No, none at all.
Are you sure? Would you possibly have missed them because of the traffic or because of the sound of that crazy stoplight there?
I was 20 feet away from the car, and they had both their windows down. And I could hear his radio that he always carries. Happy always carried a radio.
Do you remember what he was playing on the radio?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was rolling that cigarette, and then I licked it, and then I looked up. I just saw him put his foot out, bam, bam, twice. And after that, I just got up and left.
Did you see him fall?
Yeah, the second shot knocked him back.
And he said nothing?
Nothing. And he didn't even have time to say anything.
And the police officers said nothing?
No. If they did, it was afterwards.
Now, was the car parked in one of the two lanes?
It was right there in the street.
Was it parked parallel, or was it in at an angle?
I really can't remember because I was sitting right in front of it. It was kind of at a diagonal.
Mm-hmm. And... did you notice any other witnesses around? Did anybody scream or shout? Or
I didn't see anybody because I was gone. After that, I didn't see anybody in that general area right there at all.
Right. Wow. Well, Larry, you keep yourself safe and on ice there, and we'll come on down to the 8:30 demonstration, and I invite everybody else to come on down too. That's going to be at Soquel and Front Street, right in front of the Coast Federal Bank, where
we need all the support we can get. We got to do this. Everybody's got to stand up one day or another, and it's time.
Well, I encourage you also to take this story to the Citizens Police Review Board on Monday with a formal complaint against Officer Carey. Officer Connor.
I just met Michael Wonderdog. I just want to say, masturbate and smash the fascist police state.
I think we can leave that one behind. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
And I hope we'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, definitely. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We have a varied callership, and we're discussing the issue of the death, the killing, or the murder, however you want to frame it, of John Calvin Dine. Hope I have his name correct. Or Happy John, or Happy Day, as some have called him. This is Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides, and our phone lines are open, 423-5361. Give us a call. We will be playing shortly my own analysis and interviews from last night. You'll be able to look those over. We're hoping also, if we have time, to get into some other matters. In Santa Monica tonight, there is a demonstration being held as homeless activists from Homes Not Jails and Food Not Bombs take over housing for the homeless. And we may be getting a call from Palo Alto activist Daniel Myers. We're sorry that housing activist Billy Queeley could not be with us tonight. And we're wondering just where the heck Food Not Bombs worker and sometime sleeping ban opponent Robert Flory is. He was also due to show up in the studio, but hasn't yet made an appearance.
You guess just who we are? One part business, one part war. We own the weapons, banks and land. Call us Armageddon Man. There is less, but we want more. So we take it from the poor. You can't stop us, no one can, because we're Armageddon Man. Our demise, but it's on crisis that we thrive. I said, find a new market or a war will do, and we'll see our historic mission through. Well, even though our race is almost run, when we are through, you'll all be done, and what we don't use up will blow away on that Armageddon day. Survive it, no one can. Thanks to Armageddon Man. Thanks to Armageddon Man. Thanks to Armageddon Man.
From the mime troupe Armageddon Man, early 80s, one of their fine productions. One of their fine songs. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, call in number 423-5361. I'm now going to play some interviews from last night. Unfortunately, it's not as well edited as it could be, so bear with me. You, I think, will find some of it interesting nonetheless.
Okay, it's November 12th. It's around
940 down on Pacific Avenue, or moving towards it. You're hearing news of a shooting about 2.5 hours ago. And I'm trying to pick up some information from folks on the street. Hey, Jeannie. Well, Jeannie, who's been around town for a long time, just caught her on her bike here at Cooper and Pacific. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
What happened? What did you hear?
I wasn't there. I heard that a man was shot 3 times by the police, and I asked why, and they said they didn't know. He was spare changing, and it looked like he was reaching for a gun or something, supposedly. And but he wasn't. He didn't have anything like that. He didn't have a gun.
We know the name of the cop who did it?
Mm-mm. No.
Thank you. There's also a group of folks singing Bible-type songs near the old Cooper House site. And we're approaching a group of folks here in front of the Coffee Roasting Company.
Colin.
Colin, you say you heard a report about the shooting?
Yeah, like my friend was, he went down towards that direction, and he came back and said a transient was like, I guess, doing something, like he did just finish urinating in a bush or something. And then, like, he told me that the cops requested that he put his hands in the air, and he didn't put his hands in the air, and so they shot him. And that's
really?
Basically what
What's
I
your
heard.
Friend's name?
Well, I don't remember which friend it was exactly, so... Oh, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
Did you say he actually saw it, or he heard about it?
I guess he heard about it from the an officer on the scene or somebody that had seen it or something.
We know the cop who did the shooting.
No, I'm not too sure.
We know the identity of the man killed.
No, I don't.
Thank you.
Oh.
And you see, you saw it.
I heard about it too.
And you both.
I heard it from the guy who saw it.
I heard it right from the guy who saw it.
Well, let's get your account. What did you hear?
He said that there was a homeless guy peeing in a bush, mm-hmm. and then the cops came up, told him to put his hands in his head, and he didn't put his hands in his head, and they shot him twice.
Did your friend or did the man? Was this a man you knew who gave you this account?
No, I don't even know him.
There's somebody who was standing right there though, and he said that, like obviously he didn't go for anything because he didn't have anything when they searched him and stuff, mm-hmm. and they just told him that. He just didn't obey their orders, and they opened fire.
Do we know the name of the cop?
No, it was some.
He had an arm brace. He was a heavy guy with a beard.
Did you see him, or did you hear the account?
You saw him.
Oh,
right?
He was some, like, tubby dude with, like a bald head.
We're talking about the cop.
Yeah, and he was wearing, like, a wrist brace.
And what's your name?
Brandon.
And you were Mike.
It's interesting to listen to these
Mike,
kind of
Mike,
second
Mike
and third
cool.
removed stories that I got as I approached the scene of
I was
the
there
slaying.
When they were
about 5 minutes after it happened.
Eventually, we get
to
eyewitnesses.
The guy back to life in the stretcher before
bear
they
with
put
me,
him in.
But
so
actually,
like
you don't have to bear with me. If you want, you can call
right
in
after it happened, they were like,
and make your own comments on this issue.
423-5361.
Do you recognize the guy? You ever seen him downtown?
Probably.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I hang out downtown a lot, and I heard the name Happy a lot. I've probably been introduced to him, but you know, I mean, names are pretty bad with me. I was wondering if you could maybe describe him, because my friend called me this morning and mm-hmm. told me that what she had heard was that a veteran had been shot to death by the police downtown, and you know, there was something about, like, he pulled a toy gun on them or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if Happy was a veteran. It was, in fact, Happy John, who's kind of a colorful character around Santa Cruz. He kind of has a very distinctive method of speech. He talks about, he says, happy day, good to see you, oh yeah, he kind of repeats everything he says. He's a thin fellow, 41.
Wait a minute, does he usually wear a blue jacket?
You know, I don't know what color clothing he usually wears. I'm bad about those kinds of things.
Okay, so he was pretty thin?
He was pretty thin, and he was always smiling, telling jokes, and a kind of almost as though he had a mental stutter. He would kind of repeat things twice, and he would have said he was sort of a leftover hippie kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Or some people would say that about me, but it was different with him.
Because I met this guy. I went and saw Life Less Ordinary at the Riverfront Theater the other night and stepped out for a cigarette, mm-hmm. and met a guy called himself John Stewart.
Yeah, I know John Stewart. I think, actually, some say he was a witness to this. I don't know. I haven't talked to him. John Stewart is an activist with psychiatric groups trying to fight oppression by psychiatric authorities. But, yeah, I don't know how to describe him to you. If you want to come to the demonstration at 8:30, the memorial protest, I'm sure you'll be able, maybe someone will bring his picture.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not tying up the line or anything from anybody who might have some more information, but I'm just mortified, really, just by what happened.
Well, you know, it's to me, it's kind of the culmination. I don't know if it's the culmination or just simply a weird thing. I mean, it is the first shooting by a police officer in Santa Cruz, a first fatal shooting that I'm aware of since 1991, when a guy killed a police dog and they killed him
right.
in response. I guess it was at one of those gas stations at Water and Ocean Streets. But, you know, the police have adopted a policy of harassing poor people on the mall. Not all of them. And not uniformly, and not every time they pass people, but sufficiently consistently that they are clearly making an attempt to drive people who are poor or counterculture or young away from the downtown area. They're doing this by using the laws that we now have that make it illegal to sit down 10 feet from a shop or 50 feet from an ATM or 4 feet from a drinking fountain. They do this by giving out tickets for panhandling, which is actually a discredited law. I mean, you know, if someone's abusive to you, it's one thing, but if someone asks you peacefully for a spare change...
Yeah, you give someone a ticket for panhandling, obviously They're asking for money because they don't have any. How are they going to pay the panhandling ticket?
Yeah, it's obviously, they won't. Instead, they'll simply go to jail, and it's a way of frightening and harassing and, in a way, terrifying people, so they leave. And police officers have been rather outspoken about this. If you've been listening to this show, you may know that I've had accounts with people who've told me that police officers have specifically told them to get out of town, get off my mall, leave, and conditions are now being enforced by judges as a condition of OR, that is, release without bail on minor charges, that people can't come back to the mall, even though they haven't been convicted of any crimes. I talked to a woman today at court. I was at court myself at an arraignment for a ticket which I got for leaning against a green trash can up near Cathcart and Pacific, Friendship Corner, Hippie Corner. I guess now it's Development Corner, or I don't
Swenson
know.
Corner.
What's that?
Swenson Corner, Barry Swenson.
Yeah, right, Swenson Land. You know, this woman told me that she hasn't been convicted of anything. She's accused of methamphetamine, being under the influence of methamphetamine. After many a week, they still haven't got the tests back. This business of holding back on these tests is interesting. That for a month and a half, we didn't hear the tests from the man who was accused of breaking into City Hall, Mike Balderos, on his fingerprints. Finally, 7 weeks later, when they came back,
yeah,
lo and behold, they weren't his fingerprints,
yeah.
And so they had to release him.
Yeah.
But people who, you know, I mean, this,
sorry.
Right. There seems to be a kind of a complete disregard for the rights of poor people. I mean, you have this structure of law itself, which is abusive in terms of drug law, which, you know, most of us feel is preposterous, doesn't deal with the problem of drugs for those who have it, simply makes it more profitable and more dangerous, you know, and simply funds the coffers of police departments, gives them bigger grants, and they're running around with all this armed force downtown, dogs on leashes.
I know.
It's not good.
I just started. I mean, I used to hang out downtown all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This was up until about 2 years ago. I started going back to school full time. Just recently, I've been spending about all my free time downtown, and I've noticed a real kind of mafia mentality about it. Like, I never really, you know, I ride my bike around, and I was riding just up towards Pacific by Pergolesi, and I was just accosted. There were no cars coming the other way, but it was that you can't ride in the street, and that was, you know, that was news to me. And then
they weren't accosting you for going the wrong way on a street.
Well, no, I said, oh, and you're going the wrong way too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
But and before that, it was actually the same officer before that. A couple days before that,
who was the officer?
I don't know his name, but he's I think about the youngest one I've seen. He's pretty thin and actually rides around on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that, like, he failed some test or something.
Right.
But he caught me. I'd gone through two stop signs on my bicycle on Center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the other, you know, the other street.
Right.
Early see. And I was not, you know, I don't know. I was not outwardly, but he was just directly hostile, immediately hostile, and I, you know, told him at the end, "Thank you, officer friendly," and he just kind of sulked.
Well, there's been a lot of that downtown, and particularly it looks like the rookies that they move in misinterpret the laws, give out tickets to people for crimes that don't exist. For example, the ticket I got a crime for, leaning against a trash can, does not exist. I mean, there is actually a thing called, if you stand on the trash can, lie on top of the trash can, or sit on the trash can, I guess they can make a case for violating the law, though that would be preposterous, but still, that's one of the city council's laws. But leaning, there's just no law for that. Judges have thrown it out. This officer, Officer Lefebvre, knew it. He's going to deal with it in court, but you know, he prefers to use that kind of force just to, I don't know, maybe it's to back up his image downtown as a tough guy, maybe it's to just try to discredit me, maybe it's to intimidate other people. Let me move on so I can play a little more of these interviews, and I invite you to come join us at the vigil at 8:30 tonight in front of Coastal Bank.
Coastal Bank?
It's at SoCal and Front Street. It's right kind of catty corner from the Silver Bullet Bar, if you know it, now across from McWhorter's, down, right across from New Leaf Market. Because come on down to SoCal in front. You'll see us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know exactly the Big Brick Bank.
Could well be, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. And here's some more interviews from last night.
Brown pants. Not very long haired, you know, nice and neat, like mine or his. Short, cropped hair.
Clean shaven.
That I couldn't tell because he had a oxygen mask over his face.
Did he seem middle aged, young, old?
Middle aged.
Anything else about him that was remarkable or noticeable?
No.
That was me trying to figure out who the victim was. We've got another call coming in here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is Mad Mike Wonder Dog.
Yeah, Mike.
From the mall. The people are already assembling there at the vigil for Happy Hippie, who got murdered by the fascist police state last night. Mm-hmm. I saw part of it. I didn't know what was going on. I was on my way to the meeting to your house, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to say a few things. Like I was hearing about this, you know, this militarization, this Nazification of the mall was going on around here with all these police. I just got another ticket for going down the wrong way, but she caught me. She said she saw me, but you know, I was going down the wrong way. But that doesn't matter, you know. They're going around there harassing people for all kinds of stupid shit. And just you said something about I never heard that before. You had said something about that was telling people like get out of town. Today I heard my first get out of town by a cop. I was getting a ticket, and this woman said, "Hey, there's some guys over in the alley drinking beer over there." I said, "You're a fucking rat." I said, "I'm gonna tell them that you told the police that they were sitting there drinking beer, and right in front of the community service cunt, what's her name, and that the Japanese or whatever this problem is, Asian guy, and a downtown hostess Twinkie." All right, so I'm riding by to see if they're getting accosted by the police for drinking beer, and sure enough, police got them all jacked up. And he told one dude straight up to him, he said, "Get out of town or you're going to jail." Told him that straight up. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to you on the... I can barely hear you on the phone, but I don't even hear you on the air. So can you say something?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, thank you, Mike. Is there more you want to add, or shall I move back to these interviews?
Well, I got, you know, the guy who witnessed the thing from across the street, you know, I'm kind of sitting on him right now because he's totally terrified. And one thing that was so crazy about the whole thing was he said he didn't see anybody else in the area because he was so petrified by what he saw, the police actually getting out of the car and murdering somebody in cold blood. I mean, and it's all these conflicting stories. We took him to the DA's to make a statement, and Bob Gammon of the Sentinel don't want to hear anything about it, no conflicting stories about anything. I tried to talk to the editor. I called the publisher up and told them about it, and it's like, oh, well, you know, we got our story from the police. That one side biased shit from their right-wing Nazi fascist-ass piece of shit rag newspaper, you know. And once again, they're going to downplay this shit just like they did Justifiable when they shot that kid after he wrecked his car. And the truck is wrecked, so I'm sure he wasn't going anywhere, so he shot him in the neck. And you don't shoot somebody in the neck or the chest or the abdomen to wound them or to stop them with pepper spray, or you can shoot them in the leg or the arm or something like that, you know. And they built this $8 million police station to harm these fucking assholes. Skills to a razor sharp. They're just hired killers. That's all they're. And they got submachine guns now. And I asked one of them, I forgot the officer's name right now because I'm boiling fucking mad right now. But I told him, I said, "What kind of weapon is that?" And he told me what it was. It was a submachine gun. I said, "You don't need that kind of shit here in Santa Cruz." He said, "Shoot, yes." He said, "We do." When they jacked me up in front of Jim Caution's house the day that they raided that Sunday when Kenton Reynolds. What was that, Sunday or Saturday? It was Sunday. When that rat piece of shit bitch Kitten Reynolds ratted me off. I would appreciate it. I would have more respect for if she just ratted me off.
Mike, we're straying a little far afield here.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is that these motherfuckers, you're gonna see some more of this, and they are actually telling homeless people and different people to get the fuck out of town. I think what they're trying to do is fill the downtown merchants' coffers up for Christmas because they've been having some lean years. So this is a promise because the economy is kind of good. To get some money. So what they're doing is they're going around harassing people, forcing them out of town.